Funding from Horizon Europe's £80 billion fund is now available to UK innovators and businesses, including SMEs, from engineering to the creative industries. So if you have an idea that you want to make reality, search Horizon Europe Innovate UK and apply for the funding you need for your R&D project. For terms and conditions and to see how you or your business can qualify, visit iuk.ktn-uk.org.
This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the 4 till 7 thing podcast. I'm your host of the podcast. If you can have a host of the podcast, I suppose you can, can't you?
Yeah, sure.
Are you giving yourselves away now?
What?
I'm joined as usual by the usual 10 guys. I'm joking, of course. I'm joined by my old friend, the Woodman, Gavin Woods. Hello, Gavin.
Hi, John.
Why, over there is Dr. Cinda Templeton.
Hi.
And isn't that Vinny?
Hello.
Hi, Vinny. And hey, who's this hiding behind the screens? Why, it's Harry Fell.
Harry Fell was a man, it's a big man. He was big, he was tall, he was burly as a mighty oak tree. And when he goes a-hunting, he goes with Emma Bunton. Has oxen for a luncheon and a bison for his tea.
Oh! And then everyone joins in and we have the choir. And that's when you bring in the orchestra.
Yeah.
And they all start to go and we start to break it into harmonies with the concert choir. For the third verse, we'll have the main organ.
Sure.
The so-called grand organ. And then the whole Albert Hall will be free to sing. But that's very much in the future. This week, we've got all your dad's barmy stories. Plus, is that a Victorian vending machine in your heroic little slot? Or are you just pleased to see me? it's a Victorian vending
it's
machine.
It's the Victorian thing, yeah.
And we find out what you should be giving back, but you simply won't. Enjoy the podcast.
Radio X.
Paradise City, Guns N' Roses. Watching Slash lay out the solo in that while wearing those pagan lace-up.
Oh, man, the thong flies.
His thong fly duds.
Yeah.
It's an extraordinary mixture of emotions.
Do you know what I would do if I was Axl Rose?
What?
Every time I got in a taxi and the guy said, where do you want to go?
You say Paradise City.
I say,
take me down to the Paradise City.
Every single time I would do that. Very
good. Or if the taxi driver says, where do you want to go? Yeah. You go, what are you kidding me?
You say, please take me home. Oh, won't you please take me home?
Yeah, you could say, take me Paradise City. You go, where?
Yeah.
Just take me home. But then you go, where was that? I think it's best if he says, where do you want to go? You just say, what do you think?
Look at me.
Yeah. Where do you think I want you to take me down
to? Yeah, right.
This is the 4 till 7 thing on Radio X. Dr. Sunta Templeton's here. She looks like she's up for fun. Did you watch the Oscars last night?
No, but I have watched Slash performing with Ryan Gosling and Wolfgang Van Halen about 10 times today because it's brilliant.
What, at the Oscars?
Yeah, they did.
Awesome. I looked for you in the crowd. I thought you'd snubbed it.
Yeah.
No, I snubbed it last night.
Yeah,
I just watched some of the highlights today.
Yeah, I gave it a miss as well.
Why did you snub it, Woodman? Because I noticed you weren't there.
I tell you, because they completely ignored my imaginary soundtrack that I created for the new Dune movie.
Did you?
I had the whole soundscape mapped out in a single ukulele.
Did you?
And they just wouldn't go for it. So
it would be odd if they spent all that and decided to go to West Byfleet for a guy in a shed.
Well, they ignored me, so I ignored them.
Well snubbed.
Yeah, they started it.
Yeah. Famous people who've snubbed it in the past. Just give you an example. You're not alone, Gav. Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't accept his 1987 Hannah and Her Sisters Best Supporting Actor Award. Do you know why?
Why?
Scheduling reasons.
Oh, he was on holiday.
True, no. Also, Paul Newman waited so long to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
He was over the whole thing by the time he got one.
Wow.
He got 6 nominations, 2 honorary Oscars by the time he finally won The Colour of Money in 87. He wasn't there to accept his award.
Yeah.
He said, it's like chasing a beautiful woman for 80 years. Finally, she relents and you say, I'm sorry, I'm tired.
I'm just not into it anymore.
I used to like the fact Woody Allen used to always just play clarinet at a jazz club in New York on Oscar night.
On Oscar night,
because that was his regular scheduled gig.
Right, right.
But also what seems extraordinary is that comedy, he wrote comedies, or that comedies can win Oscars.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I often think they should be, this is why I snubbed it this year.
Yeah.
Because until they have the balls to... I like balls.
to
have a best comedy award.
Yeah, they don't do that, do they?
Otherwise, they don't stand, they don't stand a chance against the budgets and the some of the themes of the Oscar-winning films, which are much more sort of righteous,
worthy.
Yes, they do.
The tearjerkers.
And you're never going to get that with your comedies, are you?
No.
But there is no reason why, say, back in the day, Blades of Glory should have nicked it.
Oh, that should definitely have an Oscar.
I was watching that, I was thinking this should have an Oscar. this is consistently entertaining me.
Yeah, definitely.
Defo.
I quite like the idea.
Wedding Crashers should definitely have got the Oscar for best comedy that year.
It should be for that year, definitely.
No doubt about it. Why not? Yeah, why not?
Mm.
Let alone like Superbad. Defo. George C. Scott, one of my favourites, he told the Academy in advance that he wouldn't accept his Oscar for Patton if he won, allegedly calling the whole thing, quote, it's a 2-hour meat parade. He's wrong, of course. It's longer.
He's great in Doctor Strangelove, George C. Scott. He just slaps his stomach. He's so funny.
I really annoy my partner, Vanessa, when I do that.
Yeah?
When I come out of the bathroom, I always really... Because then Necker's now Milton, it's only three.
He starts slapping
his stomach when he does it. Yeah? I can't. She goes, would you not? It's just so annoying. I go, why? And Milton pulls up his thing and he does it as well. Just,
great work.
Yeah. I chose to start the Oscars last night for various reasons, says Craig in Corby. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mike in Bolton says, I was washing my hair, spelled H-A-R-E.
Oh,
interesting.
Right.
Oh, I bet it looked really fluffy.
You keep hairs.
I bet it looked so fluffy. And his ears were all furry and fluffy.
Yeah, especially if you blow dry it. Yeah, really fluffy.
Marie's never watched the Oscars. She doesn't tell us why. Sons, what have you seen there?
Andrew in T. Wells says, I snubbed the Oscars because they had jazz, blues and comedy at the local pub. Turns out it was a one-man band. He seemed okay at the blues, but had forgotten to bring the comedy. But still, better than watching actors pretending to like each other.
Yeah. Certainly is. I mean, what's amazing about actors is that anyone would provide an occasion when they can talk themselves up.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Dustin Hoffman is the key offender.
Oh.
He has a whole speech about how when he gets awards. I've been at two awards that he's been at.
Does he pile in? Does he take his time?
He's got a speech that he reads out that's a quote. And I checked. It's not even a quote from anyone.
Right.
I think he wrote it. As a great man said. And he does this quote. And it's all about...
how great he is.
It's about the craft and the bravery of the actor.
Wow.
And it's quite extraordinary. You think, that's a great quote. You look at it afterwards, he's quoting from himself.
Those soldiers have got nothing on you, mate.
But the bravery. It's about how brave it is.
Yeah, it's mad.
What, just to go, action.
Yeah.
And cut. And that's it.
Oh,
what have you seen, Gav?
No name on this, but I liked it. It says, I emailed the Oscar people... and I told them I shan't be attending. I didn't give them a reason. I thought I'd just leave them stewing.
Nice, yes,
quite
good point.
Right. Yeah.
Also, sons, not I mean, it's a bit vainglorious of them to have it on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mother's Day's different in the States.
Yes, it is. It's
They've got a different Mother's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's Mother's Day anywhere in the world, then the actors must back down.
Yeah, if there's a Cockney mum who's in Mother's Day, in fact, you can't have the Oscars.
It's also changed to daylight saving time in the States as well, which confused me loads.
Okay, that's why I snubbed it, because I will not watch anything that's not about Mother.
Sure.
On Mother's Day. I also snub it because there's only one actor's award.
Yeah.
And I these days I'm woke enough to call, you know, all actors are actors to me.
Sure.
There is no actresses.
Yeah.
Sorry, there are no actresses.
Yeah, yeah.
And never mind a supporting actress. To me, they're all actors.
Mm.
And I don't like this, you know, it's a separation in a field where there could be one. This isn't about physical strength, like sort of weightlifting or something like that.
Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah. Best actor.
Yeah. Best actor, you know? For Christ's sake. Santa, what do you got there? What are you seeing?
Dickie the Brickie says, Thangers, I snubbed the Oscars because I wasn't nominated for Best Supporting Listener for a rock-based radio station.
That is, do you know what? That's
good point,
Dickie, very good point. That's me too.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm a listener.
Yeah.
I've been on the meat diet for a month. This was the time for the record. That's why I missed the Oscars. Thank you very much for that. Someone else didn't attend the Oscars last night for fear of having to meet James Corden. So Stephen Kelly. I don't think he was there, actually.
I don't think he was there.
But I would think a lot of people had that fear, though.
Yeah.
I snubbed the Oscars. I was too busy testing out new layouts for my shoelaces to see which was the coolest with the kids. Turns out they're just like Velcro. Cheers. That's Jonathan in Barnsley, God's own county, he says. Well, yeah. I'll be the judge of that. Certainly people in Devon would beg to differ.
Yeah.
I snubbed the Oscars because I was watching a bunch of guys called kick a ball around. That must have been so cool, guys.
So cool.
So cool. It's now time to thank our partner for this episode, NHS Talking Therapies. For anyone struggling to cope with feelings of depression, excessive worry, social anxiety, post-traumatic stress or obsessions and compulsions, seeking help through NHS Talking Therapies can be one of the best steps a person can take to overcome their mental health issues and get back on track. NHS Talking Therapies, delivered by trained clinicians, are a free, effective and confidential way to treat common mental health issues. They can be offered in several ways, including online, on the phone, or in person. Your GP can refer you for NHS Talking Therapies, or you can refer yourself online, nhs.uk/talk. Thanks again to NHS Talking Therapies for supporting this podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Hey, Sons, you went to the country music thing at the O2 at the weekend. Yeah, what exactly was it?
C2C Festival, Country to Country Festival.
Right.
And they do, well, it's at the O2 in London, but it's also in Glasgow and in Dublin as well. So
all the country cities.
Mm. No, but in Ireland, they've got a whole different scene there, because they even get, massive. Like, when he's on tour, they get Garth Brooks.
Yes.
We got Garth Brooks.
Yeah, we very different.
So different.
Very different audience. Yeah.
It was very, very cool.
Was it?
Yeah. It's like everyone's just there. Like, it's almost like everyone's doing cosplay. Like,
yes, dressed up in the gear, aren't they?
You're allowed to wear cowboy boots and cowboy hat at the same time and not feel silly for it.
Yeah. Cosplay.
Yeah. Were there any chaps?
I didn't see any chaps, actually.
No, I don't think chaps goes into it.
Oh, really? Were there tassels?
Loads of fringing, lots of tassels.
And did you get that...
Buckles.
Did you overhear people explaining their look? Because I was like that. Because I'm more Tennessee... with the look I've gone for, it's more sort of Nashville. But my wife, she's more hillbilly boogie.
Well, yeah, you get a lot of the kind of newer
touch of North Carolina.
With a touch of North Carolina, but generally hillbilly boogie.
Your Kentucky cowboy look is more of a trucker cap.
Right.
Plaid shirt.
Yes.
Denim. Right. Some jeans and a boot, but not necessarily a cowboy boot. So there's a bit of that as well.
Maybe a puffer gilet.
Exactly.
Yeah,
A lot of truckers there?
A lot of trucker caps, a lot of cowboy hats. It's just a really good vibe, though. It's really fun. My favourite person I saw was Elle King. You remember Elle King?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Rob Schneider's daughter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So good.
But she's sort of changed her look and everything.
Yeah, she looks completely different, but she sounds amazing. Her latest album, which is called Come Get Your Wife, which is the best name for a country
album. That's a great name for an album.
Come Get Your Wife.
Yeah, it is brilliant. Really love that. And also Brothers Osborne, who were great, who did a fantastic cover of Tom Petty's Won't Back Down during their set, which they're doing for a new album that's coming out.
Right.
And also Old Dominion. And brilliant. Had such a good time. A woman called Lily Rose, who was great.
Okay,
yeah.
who was the big artist over the whole weekend? Because it was three nights or two nights? Three nights.
Three nights. So I was only there on Sunday.
Who was the big one? Who was you said?
Brad Paisley was on Saturday night. And he is the Eddie Van Halen of country guitar.
Is he really good?
He's amazing.
Yeah, Gavin was a bit
absolutely amazing.
You genuinely know about him?
100%. I've been watching him for years on YouTube. Yeah, yeah, he's amazing.
Is it with steel guitar?
No, Telecaster with a B bender.
Okay, thank you very much.
I won't get into why.
But you had a great. Would you go again?
It's the third time I've been.
Okay, but with it, I mean, what I'd be worried about is crazed fantasies. If people just got too much into authenticity.
What, and they start pulling out?
Well, they do things like wiping a bit of mud on the boot and dust, just to,
arriving on a
this
horse.
This would be... No, people are sort of dressed as, like, Wichita linemen.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I didn't see any full nudie suits, but I would be here for that.
Radio X.
Oh, man! Two birds with one stone, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I've got for you now.
Oh, yeah? What have
Killed
you got? What have you
Radio
got?
X. Well, potholes are a problem. Yeah?
Yes, of course.
Pensioners being idle is another perennial problem.
Uh-huh,
yeah?
The whole retirement issue.
Imagine my delight when a council... It's very rare you're pleased with a council.
Sure.
Oh, in fact, point three.
Go on.
A threefer. A council's done something right.
Oh, no, come on.
A council's done something right.
Don't stretch it.
They found something for pensioners to do, and we get rid of potholes.
Yeah.
That's right. A councillor's told a 100-year-old resident the bomb crater potholes on our road are her problem to fix.
You are kidding.
Let's clap it in, guys.
So that's them beginning to recruit pensioners now for potholes. Yeah.
She's 101 years old.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Let's say she retired at 60 or whatever back then.
Sure, yeah. So 40-odd years.
I think you could retire
yeah.
at 55 when she was there.
I think so,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's say she's done nothing of value in 40 years. Right? She's contributed nothing. She's merely sponged our society. Right?
Go on.
Well, elderly residents of Watchet, a town on the Somerset coast, say they live on the most pothole road in England and accuse the council of refusing to repair them.
Mm-hmm.
They say they're like bomb craters. Mm. They've caused six people to fall over.
Oh, my God.
Two of whom were taken to hospital, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
It's serious.
She said, we're all elderly and we don't have the kind of money to get out there and fix it yourself. No, you're always potting in gardens and going to garden shops. What we need councillors to do is have a council in garden shops with pothole equipment.
Definitely. I mean, some of them must have tarmac experience.
No, but Gav, yes, exactly. No, they can be
like the leaders and train the others.
With surfacing.
Also off-road buggies, I'm thinking, that can handle the pothole.
They go on the pavement anyway, those buggies, Gav.
Also, very bumpy ground.
Right.
They just need high suspension. Really big wheels.
Drive on the pavement.
yeah, go on.
But I think in garden centres where, you know, when I go with my old mum.
Sure, yeah.
I drive off to a garden centre, we're going to have tea there. There's a lot of pensioners there. I'll tell you something, some of the things they're looking at, very ambitious.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right.
You know, and it's this idea that, you know, and then they can bill the councils for it.
Right.
You know, not as much, but they can get the money back. They've fixed a pothole.
I like it. You could buy, say, a bucket of hot tarmac as you leave the garden centre and you go to your pothole of choice.
Tells me you're not taking this.
You go to your pothole of choice and you just pour that tarmac in there and it levels it out.
There's a precedent for this.
Go on.
Rod Stewart, quite an elderly man,
he did it on his little road. He fixed his own pothole.
He did,
But the thing is if I then knacker my car, admittedly, if I might be seen driving over it 100 times.
Sure.
Or manipulating them. But if I... Something happens to my car. Can I sue Rod?
Good question.
Is Rod liable for that pollock? I'm just saying, but it's...
I think if you're in your Lambo, then yes.
Yes.
I think so.
Anyway, the road leads to West Somerset Mineral Line, an 11-mile former railway line used for walkers and cyclists to get to the village of Washford.
Washford.
Yeah. Council responsible for maintaining and repairing public roads, including cycle paths, walkways, footpaths, but they're not obliged to maintain privately owned roads.
Ah.
So it's a privately owned road.
Oh, it's a private road.
Right. Oh, get out there and fix it.
Right.
Yes. Yes, or find a man.
Yes.
There'll be a man.
Garden centres. It wouldn't...
I think it's genius.
Look, a basic pothole kit.
Sure.
It can't...
It's come in small, medium and large.
Small, medium, large.
Yeah, depending on the size of your pothole.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Easy to measure, isn't it?
Bit of sand.
Sure. Easy to measure.
And a bucket of hot tarmac. It's easy. Just pour it in there.
It's easy to measure how much in a pothole. You merely need your bucket of water.
Sure. Yeah, you go. Then
you keep filling it up.
You've got your volume. It's the same volume.
So you measure it exactly before it's the... You're creating a puddle that is flush with the road.
Sure.
You now know the precise capacity of your pothole. Mm-hmm. Away you go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Simple.
I just think pensioners seem to be the answer. No one ever sees them as that. Everyone sees them as a problem.
Yeah.
I don't. I see them as the solution.
Radio X.
So many of you listening to 4 till 7 thing on Radio X really getting behind the Pensioner Pothole Army. It's a TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Honestly, I've never... Okay, there's a company in Maxey near Peterborough called Degafloor that does a pothole kit.
Oh, we're halfway there.
Little Size looked it up. Little Size, what did you make of Degafloor?
It looks really easy to do. Also, 85 quid.
Also?
Yeah. 85 quid for one pothole?
Yeah.
That seems quite expensive.
Yeah, that's a lot, actually. That's quite a lot.
No, no, you want to see how much it is when a council gets involved.
Oh, it'll be thousands, yeah, yeah. It'll
be like 20 grand.
Yeah, 20 grand per square inch, yeah.
If you're going to send the invoice on to the council, they'll be happier doing it that way.
Yeah. I don't know, but remember that's retail. Yeah. James from Horsham says he wants to start a new mobility roller.
There you go, two birds with one stone. Beautiful.
Stunning. Of course. And also, they don't exactly move fast anyway.
No, don't
so
need
just
to.
Rollers rather than wheels. That's absolutely fine. Also, a lot of pensioners have perfectly good lawnmowers with rollers on.
Also,
like the old school ones.
Yes, absolutely. Also, when they park at supermarkets, they quite often go in and out of the space quite a few times. And that's what you need, back and forth over the pothole.
Plenty of back and forth. But as I say, those old Atco lawnmowers, every bowls club has them.
Yes,
every
bowls club has rollers. On the back. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's something they can do with their grandchildren as well if they need. No, I'm just saying if they need someone with a bit of vim to get in there, you know, for more energetic backbreaking stuff, it's something they can do together.
Yeah,
tell me something. You know what I love about this show? Yeah.
Yeah.
Problem
solution. X.
Start a career where you are the difference.
My name is Gaynor, and I work in early years. I work flexible hours and love my team. We're like a big work family. The most rewarding part is seeing children's personalities develop as they grow in confidence. It's a really great job.
There are preschools and nurseries near you, looking for someone amazing to join their team. Do something big. Work with small children. Search Early Years Careers to find out more.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Gav.
Yes.
You've just bought a squirrel trap.
Yes. We've got something.
Are they a problem?
Well, it's in the eaves of my attic in a bit that I can't fit in. It's like a tiny little triangle just behind the sort of guttering.
Yeah.
And on my terrace, I can't tell if there's a hole that something can get into or whether it's somewhere on one of the other houses.
And you've already had the rats, haven't you?
That was under the garden office, and we have got rid of those, defo.
Defo?
Yeah, defo. Oh, yeah, they're gone.
You've got to stop eating crisps down there.
They're gone now.
Cheese.
But, the reason we know it's not a rat is, well, we think it's not a rat, is because it makes a racket every morning, scratching around up
right.
there.
Right.
And rats go quiet when you knock on the door, because we've knocked on the hatch and it just carries on.
It inspires them.
Yeah, so it's either a pigeon or a squirrel. We don't know. But we've ordered a squirrel cage trap, and then apparently you've got to then drive it to Scotland afterwards.
Right.
Otherwise they will come back.
Gav.
Mm. But, or France.
But what? Why?
It makes a racket. Really loud.
No, I've had squirrels in my eaves before. Yeah. I used to have my old croft in Scotland.
Sure,
And unless you've had a croft full of
squirrels and eaves
of your croft house.
Yeah, yeah.
Full of squirrels, you don't know misery because they wake up so early.
Yeah, and I can't send the cat in there because apparently squirrels are dangerous.
Yeah, and your cat might take
They'll nip the cat, yeah.
Well, a group of them will take
your cat. Sure.
But when I used to have squirrels in my roof, I just used to think, what are you doing?
Mm.
Why did you scratch?
Yeah, what is that? What are you doing
either
up there?
Leave the house or have a kip.
It's like a pair of them playing a little game of swing ball up there or something.
Right.
It's really
wake up
frenetic activity.
Scratch a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
They are. But everything they do, they either stop or it's frenzied.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing in between.
Now, that's why we think it's not a mouse or a rat, because they'll go sneaky, a rat or a mouse. They'll go quiet, yeah.
You could.
Mm.
Why would you have to drive to Scotland when you've released it? Because how far have they told you you've got to go?
I don't know.
My wife
Googled it all, and she said, I think I'm going to have to get them the other side of Guildford. Otherwise, they'll be too close.
You've Googled how far can you take a squirrel before it loses its bearing.
It's homing, yeah. Apparently, they can go quite far, and they'll still come back.
Okay, 83936, have you been through this?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Brother Woods needs your help here.
What sort of distance are we talking about?
I'm just wondering how far before a squirrel loses its bearings.
Probably not on its own as well, you know.
Well, don't say that, Sunter.
Radio X.
My partner Vanessa and I agreed no more using the perfectly sized Dieter-Ram 621 tables as TV dinner trays. Them's the rules. It was too comfy a situation.
Yeah.
You've also sent in your rules, domestic or otherwise. Those things that you just got to do.
Sure.
You can't run a house
them's
without
the rules. Yeah,
yeah, them's the rules. We've had, if you open a packet of biscuits, the broken ones don't count towards your quota of biscuits.
Them's the rules.
True,
yeah.
Them's the rules.
And that starts at the first whole biscuit.
Sure. Absolutely, sure. Yeah.
Okay, but also the trouble is with that is it's like all rules. You get people then start cynically breaking them.
Definitely,
it
yeah.
It was broken.
They're just manhandling the package yeah, right, a bit yeah. rough. Yeah, yeah.
Them's the rules.
Yep.
Before putting the meat on the grill at a barbecue, you must always click the tongs twice.
I love that.
Ding, ding. I love that.
I love them's the rules.
So it's the same with barbers and scissors, isn't it? They have to do yes. the little air snips before. Yeah.
And as long as there is a road in front of me, there is no need for me to perform a U-turn. Them's the rules. What's Ryan and Chorley say, Dr. S?
Ryan says, when using the other half's car, feel free to adjust any mirrors, but when returning the vehicle, put the seat back to its original position. Them's the rules.
Them's the rules.
Even
yeah.
go there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vanessa? Yeah.
Johnny and I both have diminutive partners, and I can't get in either. I can't get in.
I can't even get in yeah. to push it back.
I can so get I've one said to, knee in.
What
about,
I've said yeah. to her is at least just push it back a bit. Just, you know.
Yeah, just to start me off. Yeah, yeah.
What's interesting, yeah, is we had a takeaway, McDonald's, at the drive-in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not, no, sorry, kebab. We went for a kebab.
Yeah. yeah.
And she's done it at McDonald's as well.
Yeah.
But as soon as she's got a kebab there, literally, woo!
Oh, the seat's back.
Oh, seat's straight back. And
oh,
she's
wow.
She pushes
yeah.
your little legs in.
like an Olympic right. rower.
Literally, yeah. like an Olympic rower on one of those machines. Exactly. Or no, or a boat. Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable.
Wow.
The speed at which it went back. I'm thinking, well, when you arrive back at home, can't you just imagine you've got a takeaway?
Exactly, yeah.
God, it's wow. so annoying. I don't mind the mirrors and things. I wish I'd actually in the car got one of those ones where you can have buttons.
You're like a memory one.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that must be.
Oh,
what
God.
A luxury.
Do you know what I just hanker for at the moment? Mm. Just my old BMW 5 Series Estate.
That was a good car. I remember that one.
Best car I've ever had.
Great car.
Best car I've ever had.
Never did anything unpredictable, did it? Just crazy.
Just ate the miles.
Sure.
Yeah. Loads of room in the boot. You could even you could sort of use it as a storage cupboard for stuff in the house.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really good. Just a great car. Never driven a better car, man, than that.
Fantastic.
The 525.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Beautiful.
Beauty. Just your beauty. Sorry, I feel a bit...
You're right.
I feel nostalgic
no,
for it.
No, I had
it.
Two
yeah,
of
yeah.
those, and I
yeah.
love them.
And they never went wrong, did they? No.
It turns out that it didn't... when we had our first date, it didn't impress me pulling up in that.
Oh, okay.
But it did the exactly opposite.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it's not a desirable car.
Right.
Oh.
Apparently, a lot of people aren't impressed by estates.
Okay. Oh.
One of those people is Vanessa.
Sure. Oh, that's
apparently
weird.
It puts a few years on you.
I like an estate.
It doesn't matter how many miles it's got on the clock, it puts some miles on yours.
It's more suave. it's more suave if you call it touring.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, right.
Or a shooting break.
A shooting break.
Come on, what have you got?
This is from Cheryl in Kent. She says, any weekend plans you wish to schedule with me need to conclude prior to 4 p.m. Sunday, at which point I close for all social engagements.
That's really good.
That's yeah. a great rule.
That's a really good
Them's
rule. Repeat
rules.
That rule again. That's a really nice
Any
rule.
Any weekend plans you wish to schedule with me to conclude prior to 4 p.m. Sunday. Anything after that, I close for all social engagements.
What, Amazing. For the following weekend?
No. She
Just
means
that weekend.
Anything you want to plan to do with me, whatever those plans are, have to conclude by 4 p.m.
Okay,
on
okay,
a Sunday
okay.
because after that, I'm getting ready for the week. Sort
okay,
of thing.
Okay,
yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
it.
That's quite a good rule. That's quite
yeah. That's a really good rule that there's yeah. nothing after four. No,
that's
I
it.
Simply
yeah.
won't do it.
That's right.
That doesn't really allow for travelling anywhere for a Sunday. I guess it does because then Sunday lunch concludes.
Then it's over,
okay,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
It's not. Yeah. But I'll tell you something. Mm. Recently, I've really got into the late Sunday lunch.
Sure. Like an right. early dinner
yeah,
almost.
Particularly yeah,
particularly
my
yeah,
local
yeah.
pub, the Pig's Hair, which you've
been to. Oh, that's
delicious,
really
that
place.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, here's mine.
Go on.
Now, this is Mark of Kegworth. You must never poke another man's fire when visiting their home. Open fire or barbecue. Them's the rules.
Yeah.
At first, I thought he was speaking metaphorically. which goes without saying. But actually, it's same for both, isn't it?
It's very territorial. A man's
yeah,
fire
no, no,
is
never,
his fire.
Never,
yeah.
But also never build the fire.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
never if a bloke's doing roasts and things, you never mess with the roast.
No, you don't.
You never lean in and add a bit of salt. So
no, you can't do that.
You might as well spit at him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, literally, in fact, if you even add a grain of pepper, you add anything to a man's roast.
Oh.
Or barbecue,
sure.
Ditchy, may as well just can't. Just kick him in the balls hard as you can.
Absolutely. Oh, it's worse.
May as well, Gav.
Sure. Yep.
In fact, a lot of people would prefer that.
Well, Johnny, it's the beginning of a fight.
It is.
It's fighting yeah. actions.
I turn around yeah. and go, fight sitch.
That's right, yeah.
Do you say that always, if it is? You go, okay, fight sitch.
That's right, yeah. No, I say, I got time today.
Yeah. I'd just say this, some of us don't mind going hands on. Ladies and gentlemen, send us your rules, 83936, domestic or otherwise. Them's the rules. Okay, this is just about Chelsea Dagger. Lead singer John Fratelli, real name John Lawler, wrote this song for his wife, who worked as a burlesque dancer with the stage name Chelsea Dagger. Her real name is Heather.
There you go.
There you go.
What, Heather Dagger?
No.
Johnny Vaughan. Radio X.
Right, as you know, there's two areas I'm quite obsessed with.
Yeah.
Sure.
Cotswolds Lake District.
Mm-hmm.
Cotswolds, trying to stop people going there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Full stop. And also Lake District, always planning permission problems.
Always, yeah. Right. Keep it all
you
natural.
You know my
yeah.
plan to get that my super casino in
yes,
the Lake District.
On one of the lakes, wasn't
all
it?
All I right need is to buy a little cottage near a lake and then just start putting planning it.
Yeah.
Planning apps in.
Build a very tall black tower made of marble or something, yeah.
Yeah, for Lakeside Palace.
Yeah, yeah, with big, like, neon signs saying TJ's...
Yeah, Windermore.
TJ's, you know, whatever, gambling den.
Windermore, more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I have the letter win flashing.
Yes. Yeah.
Win.
All day and all night.
Win, and more. Win, more. And there'd just be duh in the middle. But it's by Windermere and it'll be...
You know, the rabbits won't mind.
It'll be pretty compelling.
The bird life will be fine.
I don't care about them.
Yeah.
It's just getting punters in, yeah?
Sure.
Just getting...
Sure. In volume, yeah.
All I want to do is get pensioners feeding the slots.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's unlikely they're going to let me, but I'll tell you something. Once pensioners get a taste for the slots...
Oh, yeah, you've got them.
Well, look, they've all got property...
Pots of money. Yeah.
And they could be having more fun with it. And Winder, more!
You can't go wrong, yeah.
That's where I'm going to do it for them. Mm. Right. But meanwhile, in the Cotswolds, where I'm also planning a super casino,
right?
I'm talking to Clarkson about this. At the moment, he's got Diddley Squat. What we're planning is Diddley Slots.
Ah, nice.
An enormous farm-based super casino where you can have, like, a huge tractor-based...
Wow, like farm gambling.
Yeah, it's going to be called Diddley Slots.
I like it.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Diddley Slots, farm and casino.
Right. Please have a game called Pig in a Poke.
Yeah, Pig in a Poke. Gav, there'll be
all kinds. I want one called Horsin' Around.
Yeah, Gav, there's going to be all sorts of sort of agro slots.
Sure.
You know, just where they just veneer of something agricultural about that and whatever. Anyway, get this. Like, for instance, the roulette wheel. It'll be a big tractor wheel.
Of course.
It'll go around.
Yeah. Okay. I love it.
So, nearly 100 years ago, the landlord of the Old New Inn in Bourton-on-the-Water built a new model village in the hope of drawing visitors on coach trips to the Cotswold village.
Yeah.
Since then, the landlord has changed. The shop fronts in the miniature attraction are different too to match the face of the changing village.
Mm.
One thing missing from the contemporary portrayal is a queue of coaches causing gridlock and a group of toy residents rowing over the congestion. The issue has divided people in the quaint location, home to 4,000 people, which provides a destination for an estimated, get this, 238,000 visitors a year.
Whoa.
You're kidding.
Who come by coach or minibus. Bourton-on-the-Water's parish council has responded by voting in favour of restricting coaches in the village because they reports of parking on yellow lines, obstructing driveways, reversing in cul-de-sacs to offload passengers near the centre. Parking spaces for the buses were removed in December. But this Cotswold village firm, they're fighting for their right to have coach parties. Any village has got the right. You've got to be able to get coaches in a village.
Absolutely, yeah.
You can't start restricting movement and saying you can't go there.
Yeah.
It's a free country.
Of course, yeah.
What do you want
to do? Private property, yeah.
But also roadblocks with people demanding to see papers.
Oh, it's crazy.
You know, is that what you want?
You don't need that.
ID papers.
We don't need that, yeah.
Letters from the local Gauleiter or mayor to give you right of passage into a village. No! I mean, you do that, sooner or later we're going to end up like Cornwall.
Yeah.
You know? That's what the Cornish want. Papers everywhere. People going by at night with dogs. Torches. Demanding to see papers.
X.
Here in the UK, innovation thrives, and science and tech is our superpower. We're the largest tech ecosystem in Europe, and third in the world to have a $1 trillion tech sector valuation. Home to more unicorns than Germany, France, and Sweden combined, there are opportunities around every corner. From AI to quantum, the UK science and tech sector is redefining the future, and it's your chance to be part of it. Discover how you can invest at gov.uk/science tech superpower.
Radio X. Johnny
Vaughan.
Gavin, have you got a hero?
Yes.
Let's have it. He promised me, and he was being a bit cryptic. He didn't want to give anything away.
Not too much, no.
He said, and I quote, he had a Victorian inventor, which he knows I like.
Sure.
Sliding a tanner into his heroic little slot.
That's right.
Before giving his lever a big old tug.
That's right. So today's hero, Johnny, is a man called Mr. H.M. Robinson. No idea when he was born. No idea when he died. All I could find
good
out
research,
was that he was the proprietor of a company called, at one stage, the Refreshment Lamp Syndicate or the Hot Water Supply Syndicate. Those were the two names of his company. This company was formed in 1896 and they developed a thing called the Pluto Lamp. And this is while gas street lighting was still in use in the 19th century. Mr. Robinson showcased his product at the Great Exhibition of 1897. And in 1898, the first machine was installed right here in Leicester Square in London's vibrant West End Theatre District.
London's West End Theatre District.
So
So
what is the Pluto lamp? Basically, you imagine a gas street lamp, which has got a gas supply.
I imagine.
And what someone's done is they've installed a large cuboid-shaped postbox-sized base inside which was basically a gas boiler. And what it did was it had a burner at the bottom and it had a water supply inside it. And what it would do, you put a coin in it, you could get tea, coffee, hot water, cocoa, beef tea, as well as sugar, milk, postcards, and cigarettes. I'm not exaggerating.
No.
I'm going to show you the most Victorian picture you've ever seen. There's a bunch of men in top hats standing around one in Clerkenwell. And
it's genius.
It was amazing.
Must be town dignitaries, Kev. That's not how people all looked.
I think that's everyone, yeah.
No, it's not.
Most of those men are coal miners.
Put in top hat. It looks fantastic.
It looks amazing, but it only lasted a year because...
Fires. Deadly.
Giant gas-burning tea urn bubbling away all day, unsupervised, probably a safety risk. Gas lighting used to burn down houses and theatres all the time at the time.
Yeah, it looks pretty...
Electric street lighting wasn't far away. It was only, the first electric lighting in London was 1878, so that. But the biggest problem... People had figured out that you could just put a bit of tin in there instead of a coin. They opened the one up in London and it had 1,000 bits of tin in it.
But back then, though, Gav, as well, you'd have thought that, if people started talking about the danger, they'd have said, you're going to get the odd fire, there might be the odd explosion, but they're pretty safe.
But it's think of the beef tea.
Today where it's going to be 100% safe.
You're right. The risk assessment was a different ratio in those days.
You're always going to get casualties, even with any vending machine.
Anything worthwhile
with
can kill
you. Vending machine, there's going to be the odd explosion and maybe a few fatalities, but it's worth it if some people can get a decent cup of cocoa or a cup of tea at 2 in the morning, and I'll tell you that for nothing, and I shouldn't wonder.
We've got a listener saying, beef tea, laugh emoji, Bovril Gav. Except in those days it was called beef tea.
Wow.
Honestly,
I can't do the brand name thing.
It was beef tea before Bovril.
Exactly,
unless, of course, it wasn't and they invented it.
I don't know. Who knows?
Well, let's find out.
Let's find out. Anyway, let's salute for his crazy idea, Mr. H.M. Robinson.
It's a fantastic idea, Jeff.
It is.
We salute you. H.M. Robinson, we don't know when you were born or when you died.
No, we don't know anything.
You gave us that.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 fan.
Radio X.
Ever since I told you about the time my dad used our bath to try out his new wetsuit, you've been sending in your dad stories for a segment of the show called Dad's Bum Air. You told us about the dad who nearly sucked his own eyeball out with half a squash ball. The dad who always carries a sock measuring device.
What?
And the dad named Arthur, who insists on being called Steve because he thought it just makes him sound more exciting.
Steve.
I forgot to tell you about what my dad does, which is really weird.
What?
Is he loves dog poo bags. He just thinks they're such a... Because he obviously uses them for that with his own dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
He just thinks they're really sort of practical.
And handy.
It's just a bag. He doesn't realise that... If you've ever had a dog, you only associate those bags with
poo. It doesn't work very well.
And
does
he was
it?
Saving. Yeah. We had some Sunday lunch.
Yeah,
and he wanted to save some of his beef with gravy for his dogs. So he got this bag out at the table. He's just literally handling bits of beef and just putting them in this bag. I was like, Dad, what are you doing? He's like, What? His bloody bags of bloody prats. I mean, the waiter came up and just literally thought he was handling dog poo at the table. And just like, what the hell is this man doing? He goes, what? That's bloody practical, actually. He really just couldn't see it. I mean, even Sunter's face now, I'm glad you can't see that.
If he'd licked the gravy off the fingertips just afterwards.
I think he did.
He must have had to. Yeah,
he was tasting. It was just horrible. I mean, these sort of bits of beef in the bag.
Oh, and no.
I would say they're good for wet umbrellas.
Yeah. Are they?
Yeah.
But they're not long enough, are they?
Yeah, they're not that big.
Oh, those little handouts.
Oh, the little ones. Yeah.
So they're not for food.
No, they're not.
No.
No, they're really not. He's just, what is bloody practical, actually, John? My dad.
This is coming from Pete, who says, my dad, Derek, was an architect, so of course he drove a Saab. When I was about 12 or 13, the car somehow lost reverse. And rather than pay to get it fixed, he drove around with the problem for more than a year. He would say to my brother and I, find a suitable parking spot, boys. This either had to be on a hill or a space you could drive straight through.
Nice.
Failing that, the passengers would have to get out and manoeuvre the car.
Oh,
my friends called him Crazy Derek and the car that wouldn't go backwards.
Crazy Derek.
It's a great
name. You know you've got an eccentric dad, right? When your mates are calling him, how's Crazy Derek?
Yep, and his car that won't go backwards.
How's Crazy Derek and his car that won't go backwards? A mate of mine's dad, who's real eccentric, when the seatbelt ban came in, he used to work in Nottingham. It's about a 19-mile drive from the village he lived in.
Mm.
Yeah, because you didn't have to have a seatbelt on if you're reversing.
Oh, yeah.
He claimed, this is sort of dad's barmy bullshido.
Right. Yeah.
He claimed to have reversed all the way to Nottingham.
To the next town.
Without
you are
a seatbelt on. As his
such an eccentric, odd thing.
Loophole.
Sorry, the factory was in Lutterworth, which I think has been a pet town, which is a bit nearer than Nottingham. But he pretended he
that's
John,
great.
We saw him set off. I think he did do it.
But why is the question?
I don't know.
Why
because,
would you do
because
that?
Because he was defying seatbelt laws.
Yes. He was so angry
about
the seatbelt.
And if you're reversing, you don't have to wear a seatbelt. So he reversed all the way as a protest. That's something that could save his life.
That is balmy.
Yes. Yeah, it's balmy. What you got there, Gaff? Hayley Blackheath.
Hayley says, my dad has had the same pair of wooden clogs since I was born.
Wow.
He will only have them resold with car tire tread. He says it proves you only need one pair of shoes.
Oh, my goodness.
That's ridiculous.
What, for your whole life?
I wonder how old he is.
One pair of shoes.
Don't. I told you, it reminds me of my dad. Well, I don't see why you're playing new music, John. Who needs new music? We've got enough new music.
Got enough songs.
That's what he said.
I know, it's unbelievable.
He said, weren't they out there mending potholes or big... I say, what, you want to send musicians to mend? We've got pensioners for that, Dad.
Amazing.
Instead, he texts just in, TJ, I confess I've got 6 bags of bolognese in the freezer in poo bags.
Mm.
The realisation of what you're doing is when you pick up the meal like a poo, says Andy in the Cotswolds. Thank you very much, Andy. This is from Tim in Stockport. My dad loves Chinese food.
Mm.
Succulent meal, especially for the starters. He also hates getting greasy food on his hands.
Yeah.
When having his Chinese every Friday, he puts on disposable surgical gloves to pick up the barbecue spare ribs.
But that's not a bad idea because they're
not
so
a
sticky.
Bad idea.
They're so
or
sticky.
Or you could use a poo bag. Same.
Yeah.
What you eat them over a foot? No,
with gloves
on. No.
Those gloves you get at the garage for when you're pumping fuel. Yeah. Those big plastic ones.
Do you know what's really funny about those bags? I do keep them in because when I used to have a diesel, there's nothing.
You can't get rid of the smell.
Yeah. Because people with diesels are gorillas, aren't they?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how hard it is to keep them tidy, those gloves.
Yeah.
They naturally just spread.
They just
and fluff
float
up.
Around
think,
all over the place.
In a tiny little place there. You sort of roll them up. You nick a few from the garage where they've got them.
Yeah.
Then you put them in one of the little cubby holes in your car.
Yeah.
They just
like
grow.
Like tumbleweeds.
They just grow. It's incredible. They
want to be bigger.
You saw there was 10 gloves in there rolled up neatly. They come out. It's literally, you open it, it's like... Send your dad's drawers 83936, or you can tweet at Radio X. You're right, Gav. It's like tumbleweed.
It just takes over.
It's extraordinary. They can range from the eccentric to the downright embarrassing. They can be oddly heroic or simply just mortifying, as long as they're carried out by that well-meaning buffoon, the dad. Get him in, please. X.
Funding from Horizon Europe's £80 billion fund is now available to UK innovators and businesses, including SMEs, from engineering to the creative industries. So if you have an idea that you want to make reality, search Horizon Europe Innovate UK and apply for the funding you need for your R&D project. For terms and conditions and to see how you or your business can qualify, visit iuk.ktn-uk.org.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Right. I've got white bread, a middle-aged spread, and a peregrine falcon's dead.
Is this our three quick stories, is it?
Three quick stories.
Go on, then. Again, this is dinner party ammo.
Ish.
Yeah.
It's not directed at the dinner party crowd, but you can deploy it if there is a silence for your traditional Friday night dinner party.
Sure, sure.
Or down the pub.
On a Friday, it's like beer garden ammo.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or just in a decent, in the snug.
Sure.
It's sort of snug bar chat. Okay, Gav.
Go on. White bread.
If you want to look your best in the morning,
mm.
don't go with white bread.
Really? Why?
You don't have white bread, jam, fruit juice.
What?
Don't
well, all
that.
The things I
Swap
like.
Swap it for wholemeal bread
uh-huh.
and cheese.
Cheese oh, for yeah. breakfast?
Cheese.
Cheese.
Cheese. Why do you say it like that, Gavin?
Cheese.
So I say, when you yeah. say the word cheese, Gav, I've never said this to you before, but when you say the word cheese,
mm-hmm.
you do this thing with your teeth where you go a little bit like a sort of rodent. No, it's
cheese.
Quite weird. You just sort of go, cheese.
So, no, you no, just do stop looking over no, the computers at me.
Did you see what I mean? He goes,
I don't.
Go,
I don't do anything with my mouth. I'll say it now. Cheese.
No, he does. You sort of pull your mouth back like you're like.
Do I can, I?
Yes, and it's awful because now when I eat cheese, I imagine you nibbling
saying
it instead
it,
of me.
Yeah.
No, imagine you actually nibbling it.
Wow.
Or that you've been there first,
right.
nibbling it.
What? So the cheese has been unfaithful with me?
Yes. Yes. My cheese has cheated. Anyway, a study suggests people look less attractive,
right,
after they've consumed refined carbohydrates
uh-huh.
and sugary drinks. Sorry, that's just a noise that happens when I say the words less attractive.
Right, yeah, makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
And sugary drinks for their first meal of the day.
Sure. Ah.
You look less attractive.
Wow. Well, I don't need to worry because I don't eat any of that stuff in the
morning. I've stopped the juice in
right.
the morning now. I now
yeah, yeah,
actually
yeah.
eat fruit.
Right.
Where does that leave me?
Yeah, I only go with a Scottish breakfast.
Do you? What's that?
Yeah, porridge made in water.
With salt.
Yeah, they add a bit
of
salt.
Do you make your porridge with water?
Yeah, always, yeah.
You lie. No
I do,
one
yeah.
does that.
I put a splash of milk in at the end, but I
cook, I thought you say
I boil it in water, John.
If it's very cold, I put a wee tot in there, a wee dram there. Just
a wee drop of something.
I'll just put a wee little bit of
something single malted.
If there's
perhaps.
A little bit of a taste of whiskey in there, I put a wee bit of Glenfiddich. Just tea warm up.
Maybe a bit of shortbread on the side.
But the bairns seem to like it.
boozy porridge.
What, giving it to your kids. Anyway, so avoid that then. It makes it bloats you, makes you look less attractive.
Fantastic.
I don't eat anything for breakfast.
Don't you?
I just have a coffee, that's
Do
it.
Do you? A French breakfast.
Hello.
Yeah.
Does, right. Is it working for me?
It's working. I tell you what, so it's working for you. How about this?
Go on.
Next up.
Mm.
Do you know what's amazing?
Mm.
You're six times more likely to have a middle-aged spread if both your parents are what?
Overweight?
Correct.
Oh.
That's that one dealt with.
Yeah, I mean, that's just obvious.
Yes, if both your parents are obese,
you're more likely
to be obese.
Well, you just have to go to an airport.
These are my parents, they're fat. we all are in our family, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the same since I were five.
You come round to our house at Christmas when the whole family's there, we're all chubby.
Absolutely, yeah.
What are I doing all the next one for that? I don't know. Yeah. Come round to mine.
Yeah, well proportioned.
The whole family's fat cockneys.
Always carrying a bit of extra timber.
I know. What, them fat cockneys who was here earlier? Easy, that's my family. What, the fat cockneys?
Oh, my goodness.
Here, Mum, you got him all that crumble?
Why would they research that? It's such an obvious one.
Here, who's finished off all the quality sweet? Sorry, let's move on. And lastly, you know that we were following the... my head's now just filled with fat cockneys eating cheese.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
And, sure.
You don't need that.
I don't need that in my life. No, I really don't. Oi! That's my cheese! Gav.
Yeah.
A peregrine falcon found fame nesting on Winchester Cathedral. Do you
remember
it?
We covered it. We watched it.
It's dead.
Yeah. No. Oh. What happened?
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm afraid it had a scuffle with a rival.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, I'm afraid so.
So it was falcon on falcon incident.
I'll tell you what, she's a terrific mum.
Yeah.
She reared at least 27 chicks.
Aww. Wow.
And
that's a lot of chicks.
What?
No, nothing. It's just a phrase, rearing chicks. Winnie and her former mate, Chester, were first noticed in 2011 when they were nested on an old police headquarters.
Mm.
And in Romsey Road. They moved to the cathedral in 2017.
Yeah.
And in 2020, Winnie laid what was thought to be a record number of eggs.
Good old Winnie.
But now I'm afraid Winnie is dead.
She's now chasing pigeons in the sky, in the sky.
Yes, yes. She's gone to that cathedral in the sky.
She has.
I feel like we should stand.
Yeah, well.
Well, she was a webcam.
We should salute at the very
sensation.
Least.
Mm. Someone from the cathedral said, although this is upsetting, it's a natural course of event. Most peregrine falcons die in combat.
Oh!
They've sold her, haven't they?
They haven't. They had a scuffle with a love rival.
Wow.
But it's natural. That is the way of the falcon.
Of course,
they generally die in a love scuffle.
Radio X.
So Sunak has defied calls, particularly from Keir Starmer, to give back 10 million quid.
Mm. From a donor, yeah.
From a donor who's made racist comments about Diane Abbott, rather than just disparaging comments about Diane Abbott.
These
do sound a bit racist.
Yeah, yeah.
And also really threatening.
Sure, yeah,
so
yeah.
So you can say, you know, I would say you can say what you like about Diane Abbott, but you know what? You can't.
No.
She is what she is. You can talk about her politics, whether you agree or disagree with her, and you can talk about her competence, but what you can't start doing is dragging race into it.
Exactly.
Or some of the sort of hatred this guy's done. Anyway,
go on.
On that basis, the backer of the Tory party who said these things,
yeah,
he's given the Tory party 10 million. Obviously, the Labour Party loving it, saying give the money back. They're not going to.
Because it's 10 million quid,
well,
that's
spent
why.
It.
Yeah. But come on.
I'm awfully strapped, old boy.
No political party gives 10
million. My wallet.
Yeah, because it was also fine when he gave the money.
Right.
Which didn't work for Chelsea Football Club.
With
all the... I don't want to go there. But I'm just saying, if political parties, and Labour should watch this as well, started having to give money back on the grounds of what their backers have said, then frankly we wouldn't have any political parties in Britain at all. We certainly wouldn't have a two-party system because they'd all have to give it back. The Labour Party's been, you know. Anyway, my point is this. Gaff, what technically should you give back?
I don't want to discuss this,
but I'm going to. Come on.
The last band I was in, as we disbanded, now, I did lose some gear. I had some, drum equipment and some guitar, but I gained something, which I should take. It's not really mine.
What'd you gain?
I gained quite a nice Fender Jazz Bass.
Did you?
Yeah.
The one you gave me.
That one I gave you, I bought for you. I wouldn't give you this one. This one I've got's really worth something.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, fair enough.
Wow. Cool. I can't believe you confessed that. That's
really?
Big. I don't want to, I'm never giving it back.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to tell you two things I should give back. Mm. Once, I was playing a charity golf game.
Oh, yeah.
And I was given a rescue club.
What's that?
And it just stayed in my bag at the end. It's a club you hit from the... It's like a sort of... it's like a mock wood.
Right.
Small thing. It's a rescue club, and I should really give it back.
To get you out of trouble
because it acts like a driver if you play it right. But the thing I should really give back, years ago...
Yeah.
I interviewed Louis Theroux.
Yeah.
After he'd done his... his documentary on Jimmy Savile.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And he bought into the studio at the time. You know, this is when on Channel 4. And when lots of people now view he let him off the hook and he should have really gone in there on, if you look now at a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But Louis Theroux bought a copy of Jimmy Savile's autobiography called As It Happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And signed that copy to him.
To Louis.
And Louis left it in
there. No.
And I've got it in my bookcase.
Oh, my goodness!
So it's just... But you didn't really...
Not only that, it contains the most weird quote from Louis.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, to Louis, from Jimmy.
Yeah.
It says, who should be the top man if he lets it happen. And then he's done these exclamation marks that look exactly like three sixes after it. No, I'm not kidding. You ask anyone at this quote. Then he's done a weird half moon character on this thing.
Mm.
It says, except it's up to him.
Who's he talking about? God or the BBC?
Satan.
Wow.
And then these exclamation marks. Because then he does exclamation marks later in the thing. And they just look like straight exclamation marks.
Wow.
But these ones are curved.
They're quite sexy.
And they've got a whole...
Yeah,
I'll post it on Instagram. You can have a look at it.
Wow.
It's really weird. Anyway, but I've still got that. Lou, if you want it back, you should have it back. I always see it as this quite evil thing in my bookshelf.
Yeah.
I'm dying to give it back. But 83936...
What should you give back?
What should you give back, really? 83936. Yeah, I hate... And occasionally when someone comes around, I go, I'll show you something really dark. Then.
Yeah.
My house. I'll tell you something. I'm surprised when you came around for Christmas, I didn't shirt you, but it was very Christmassy. but how about this? My mate gave me a stack of old Viz comics in a box, which I absolutely love. But recently I was in a car with him and he stayed in the middle lane when he wasn't overtaking. I've dumped the comics back on his doorstep and I hope never to see him again. Luke in Basingstoke. Luke, that doesn't sound true at all. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, someone else says they owe the taxman a few quid
Yeah.
Keep that to yourself. I should give my brother-in-law's lovely tailor-made golf trolley back, but I'm not going to. Never, ever return an umbrella. Ever. No one does.
Is it bad luck or something?
No, it's very bad luck.
X.
With UK Export Finance, I'm fulfilling more export orders from around the world with working capital support.
Export insurance means I'll get paid when exporting to challenging markets.
At UK Export Finance, we believe no viable UK export should fail for lack of finance or insurance. Between 2022 and 2023, we provided £6.5 billion of government-backed trade finance to support UK exports. Learn how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders, and get paid. Search UK Export Finance today.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Gav, we're looking at... Gav, sort of gang.
Yes.
We're talking about the things you've got and you should really give back. This is after Sunak defies calls to give back Tory donors £10 million. We're not going to judge him because we're not a political show.
Sure.
What we do know is, though, we've all got stuff we should really give back.
Yeah.
I've got a rescue club I took from a charity day, which a kind person
and
said...
And you've kept it ever since.
Try this, John.
Mm.
Yeah, I will for the next 5 years. I'll enjoy it.
I'll try it forever.
Thank you very much. Gav, what do you got?
Paul in Leeds says, hi, TJ and the gang. I have a signed Leeds United shirt from the 2001 season. I was holding it for a colleague who won it at a charity auction.
Ooh.
I should have given it back, but 23 years later, I still have
That's terrible. Do you know what? I've got one of those as well. When I worked at Capital Breakfast, we were charity partners with Chelsea Football Club.
Ah.
Right.
For what was before Globals Make Some Noise, it was Help a London Child.
Yes.
And... So I went along to a day at Chelsea, and I'm suddenly taking penalties at Petr Cech.
Wow.
You're kidding?
No, I'm rolling with Frank and John Terry and
right.
Frank Lampard. I'm there.
Did you have boots on, or were you wearing leather gentleman's shoes?
Gav, I don't know if you meant to feed me for once. But in your attempts to cheese salad my story.
Yeah.
So I'm about to take a penalty,
and
I haven't got boots on. So John Terry says, "Have mine." Turns out we're both 9.5.
You are kidding.
You are.
No, I'm not. We're both 9.5. So, John Terry, who incidentally used to wear three pairs of boots
every single game. I remember reading about that.
He used to wear, in a text to me.
Yeah.
And, which he read over my shoulder. He used to wear a pair to warm up.
Yeah.
Right.
Pair for the first half,
right.
Pair for the second half.
Makes sense.
Because then he used to sell them to charity.
Right.
For charity auctions. Because he's a good guy.
Mm.
Anyway, so John, I said, have mine.
Right. Just pulled them off his feet.
Yeah.
Right.
So at the time I thought, I'm incredibly generous. I didn't realise he literally uses two every time he trains as well.
He was taking them off anyway.
He says, have mine like this. I'm thinking, wow. And they've got all his family's names on.
Aww.
Yeah.
Whatever, so I've got those. But then, Frank Lampard came up and goes, did John give you his boots?
Right.
I've gone, yeah, it was a charity thing.
Yeah.
He says, have mine.
He gave you a pair as well.
I'm 9.5 as well. He gave me as well, yeah.
You are kidding.
No, so when we're in the car, I've got these two pairs of boots. I'm thinking, they didn't really say I had to sell them for charity.
Oh.
I don't know. And I've had them ever since. But I'm sure at the time the intention was auction them.
Yeah.
And,
You
can't let go of those.
I've got two 1954 barber's chairs at home.
Yeah.
My Belmont chairs.
Mm.
which are these beautiful, what's called the golf club chairs, because they've got the golf club levers on the side. Mm. And I've got both their boots on the chairs.
Nice.
Which are also red and chrome. Mm. Not their boots are red and chrome, they're red and white, but they just look great there. Mm. Mm. And every day I look at them, I just feel more and more sort of guilty, I sort of think. But you know what? I'm not going to return them.
No.
Sure.
I should.
You should, but it's too late now,
but
anyway.
It's slightly unclear, right? Sunta, what have you seen in the text?
Nathan of Wrexham says, hey, Tej, I've got a full tunic and bearskin from the Guards Regiment. I was meant to give back when I left.
Do they give back the tunics?
I imagine
they want everything back when you leave.
No, those bearskins, they are worth a fortune. Yeah. And now they're starting to go synthetic because obviously they can't justify it. But I think, doesn't every guardsman nick them? What's hilarious about that is, when can you wear it casually?
When are you going to wear it? Never.
Never,
when can you wear
literally
a two-foot hat?
Never. You can't.
No, you can't.
You can't.
What are they? On a very cold day.
Any ex-guards listening, 83936, what do you use them for? Because you all nick them. What do you use your bearskins for? Your Busby hats? There's a load of people here as well. Need to give back. Seems to me the Blockbuster Video shut down because everyone's still got their VHSs. Yeah.
Radio X.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, a day many of us, as usual and as traditional, will take to the dance floor. A lot of you will be dancing a bit later, yeah? Might
sure.
be at home.
A dinner dance, maybe.
I like it when I used to like it in the old days, when if you ever ended up going back to one of the lads' flats.
Yeah.
In the early days, and you get those groups of like eight blokes dancing to Scar in a kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Those kind of scenes.
Old school.
Yeah, old school. Yeah, or like in a horrible rented lounge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You all learn sort of.
Drinking titties.
Fighting over record selection. Yeah. Anyway, get this right, guys. It is the day of dance, though.
Sure.
Welshman John Travolta.
What?
All right, I'd lie.
Welshman, John Travolta.
I've opened up with a lie, haven't I?
He could be Cornish with a name like Tree...
John Travolta.
Like Tree Volta.
Cornishman, John Travolta.
John Tree Volta.
John Travolta was Cornish.
God, that'd be funny.
John Travolting.
Yeah.
John Travolta's thrusting hips.
Yeah.
May have attracted it. He's not... Incidentally, I added the Welsh bit.
Yeah, he's not Welsh.
Because I wanted to get my Mirtha on the dance floor.
Yeah, nice.
Mirtha on the dance floor. It's nothing to do with Wales at all.
Okay. Mm.
Nothing at all.
That's cleared that up.
I suddenly thought it because I thought I'd seen the word Wales in there.
Right.
But I had, in fact, it was Marseille.
Ah, different word.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Very different.
But for a second, I thought it was Mirtha.
It's nothing like that.
No.
Yeah.
Should we move on with this item?
Yes.
A team from the National Institute of Health and Medical Research at the Aix-Marseille University has discovered that if humans hit the dance floor at the sound of Staying Alive, it's because of the effect of syncopation on their left sensorimotor cortex.
Right. Part of your brain.
Sensorimotor complex.
Right.
Cortex.
Yeah.
Researchers say this part of the brain links auditory and motor systems and get feet tapping.
Right.
And they're talking about that thing people do where they start dancing a bit as they're walking onto the dance floor.
No.
Oh.
They're talking about just
dancing. Just dancing, yeah. right.
If you hear music. It's a syncopation. They really sort of tear the bum out of everything.
Yeah, they take all the mystery away.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
There's a day that comes for everyone where, and after this day, you'll only ever dance really ironically at weddings. And that day is when you hear your feet. You're just dancing one day and suddenly you just hear your feet and you realise, I'm not a young warrior anymore.
Right, you can hear the sound of your feet.
You just look, just conscious of, can I actually hear my...
Yeah.
No matter how loud it is, you can just, there's something happens.
Mm.
I don't know when.
You think you just get a thing called dad feet?
Sometime in your 30s, and you get dad foot.
Is it because you're slightly out of time with the music, therefore it becomes a little clearer?
Could be, that really could be.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, you do lose your ability to dance, and you do look more ridiculous, and you go through age. Dad dancing. There was an article in the papers ages ago about dad dancing that it looks ludicrous, and then it starts looking lovely again when you're in your 60s.
Oh, right.
And
that
quite
makes
charming,
sense.
Yeah. But there's this time where you look like you just look ridiculous dancing.
Okay.
And I guess, you know, it's dad dancing. And I guess what it is, it's to make you not an attractive sight.
Take you out of the pool.
Take you out the pool for a while.
Yes, to give the younger men a chance.
To give the younger men a chance. Yeah,
absolutely right. Yes. I mean, God knows they need all the help they can
otherwise,
get.
Otherwise, if you're at that age, you've probably got more money and things than younger people.
Absolutely,
other trappings. But look, he can't even dance.
Exactly.
Sure.
Have you seen your dad dance?
Yeah, but he's got a Lambo.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Doesn't matter. You've seen him dance.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because any woman's going to say they'd rather be with someone who can dance than someone with a Lamborghini any day. Than an old boy in a Lamborghini.
Definitely.
Than some skint, swarthy middle-aged guy.
A skint younger man with a few moves.
Suds looked at me and looked like, I don't know about that. I'd go through the Lambo.
Depends if it was orange.
You could take the girl out of Suffolk.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, John. I still rather like a Lambo.
That is not a Suffolk accent.
No, it's not a Suffolk accent. I don't know what it was. Would everyone stop criticising Showtime TJ?
Sorry, Showtime.
Remember, I'm Johnny Showtime.
Johnny Vaughan. Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk.
Radio X.
Here in the UK, innovation thrives. And science and tech is our superpower. We're the largest tech ecosystem in Europe and third in the world to have a $1 trillion tech sector valuation. Home to more unicorns than Germany, France and Sweden combined, there are opportunities around every corner. From AI to quantum, the UK science and tech sector is redefining the future, and it's your chance to be part of it. Discover how you can invest at gov.uk/science tech superpower.